This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spiegel and Holmes.
You guys are friends of the program, man. I can never turn y'all down.
I know that's right. That's Stacey King.
The friends of the program are my friends, and they are friends for life.
Afternoons on the Score.
Jason Leisure.
It sure must have been nice for Caleb Williams when Ben Johnson gets hired and everybody comes in for the press conference at Hallis Hall and Ben Johnson just gushing about Caleb Williams and saying flat out, this is a key reason why I took the job because of what I see in Caleb. That probably feels great. Also, Ben Johnson's career depends on getting Caleb Williams to that level, and Ben Johnson is not going to play games with that. He's not going to let things slide in a way that could ultimately be his undoing as a head coach. So I think he is going to be good cop and bad cop for Caleb.
That was Jason Leisure talking to us about the new dynamic between the new head coach and the quarterback. And it's something that we're all going to spend a lot of time discussing as we get through these months. It's so funny, Speaks. I was talking to my students at DePaul yesterday.
Professor Holmes.
Yeah.
Professor, what's another name for pirate treasure?
I think it's booty.
I thought so as well.
So I was talking to them about how the NFL just eats everything because it's so popular. So there's about 5 weeks when the NFL is dark. And it's basically when school ends until training camp starts.
That's it. That's Mike Florio's favorite time of year.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have the Titans moving to Chicago by then. Everyone's moving right to the City Beautiful.
He'll be upset about players inseminating their wives in the wrong time of the calendar.
Yes. He hates that.
He does.
That puts you in a bad spot.
Yep.
But here we are in this time of year where we're still kind of getting to know before we get to the real practices and the real games. I kind of wish the Bears were back on Hard Knocks this year.
This would be a good year for that. We thought last year was a good year for that.
And I guess they're like changing the rules now to get more teams like into the pool.
Are they?
To try and convince them to get on Hard Knocks.
Well, that's interesting. I'm fascinated by the good cop, bad cop situation that is going to be happening and who's going to be the good cop, who's going to be the bad cop in terms of coaching up Caleb. We know that you are the self-proclaimed black cop.
Yes.
Right? So
in good cop, black cop, I am the black cop.
Right. And so where is that show?
Also occasionally the good cop.
Oh, I think you're very often the good cop. But I am never the black cop.
Now, are you more Carl Winslow or are you more Denzel in Training Day? What's going on here?
I mean, honestly, Tanny, I always felt like the stuff that we were doing on the nighttime show was very Denzel in Training
Day. Yeah, it was.
I felt there was a lot of stuff. I had my whole little crew where we were just doing stuff that we probably shouldn't have done. Mm.
Made me try Angel Dust my first night work with them. You know, it's crazy.
Just to get you ready, you know? Make sure you didn't you know, you didn't snitch. All right, so you got to make sure you do that.
So look, we know we're trying to figure out who the good cop and who the bad cop is going to be. We know who the black cop is going to be. You know, it's interesting because when Ben Johnson was in Detroit with Jared Goff, he was definitely the good cop with Jared Goff. Like, maybe, I'm sure he disciplined him some, but remember that he was a tight ends coach at the beginning, and how it worked is Zach Taylor was friends with Ben Johnson from a coaching tree situation. Zach Taylor had coached Jared Goff in Los Angeles with Sean McVay. So when Goff got to Detroit, Zach Taylor texted his friend Ben Johnson and said, I think you're going to like this guy. And he texted Goff and said, I think you're going to like this guy, and got them together. So their friendship began when Ben Johnson was not the OC. And so then when Ben became the OC, they had a real bond, which I can talk about in another moment. But Tanny unearthed this sound from Dan Campbell,
ooh,
which will make it pretty clear on who the bad cop was in the early days of Jared Goff's development in Detroit.
I will say this. I feel like he needs to step up more than he has. And I think he needs to help us, you know, just like everybody else. And I think he's gonna need to put a little bit of weight on his shoulders here, and it's time to step up and make some throws and do some things. And but he needs help. He needs help, you know. And look, I told him out there, he knows this, but some of that stuff, we're getting these holding calls. Well, it's because he's drifting back in the pocket 10 yards deep. That's not fair to those guys either. And if you hang on to the ball, so it's like I told you, this is a collective effort now. Everything goes hand in hand.
Man, I love Dan Campbell. That's some real talk. That was early 2022 as Jared Goff was still trying to find it. And there's lots of moments in there that have been written about where, like, Goff goes into Campbell's office and they have a talk and figure some things out, and Goff, like, gets through it. But, like, they had a ton of friction, and Dan Campbell was never afraid to tell miserable truths to and about Jared Goff.
Well, that's the thing about Dan Campbell, is that it's hard to fool a guy that played in the league for as long as he did and has coached in the league as long as he has. And you talk about someone who is ideal to play that role, and also to play the other role if he finds someone else to be the heavy.
Sure. Well, that's, you got to be ready to play either role as a head coach, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful. But usually players are closest with their position coaches. And I think for most of the positions for the Bears, that is going to be great. I think the running backs are going to have a very rude awakening when they get to meet Mr. Bienemy.
Yeah, that's a bad cop and a black cop.
Not a good cop, though. Never a good cop, but always the bad cop,
man.
And the black cop.
Two out of three ain't bad.
That's right, and they're going to find that out.
R.I.P. Louis Anderson, you know?
R.I.P.
Wait.
But yeah, like, this is having a head coach, being the head coach gives you license for it. I know a lot of coaches that they'll be the final decider. Like,
yeah,
they don't necessarily want to step into some of those moments,
uh-huh,
and be the bad guy. But if it gets to the level of the head coach, they aren't afraid to be the bad guy. With Ben Johnson, he's in a really interesting spot, because he's a first-year head coach.
Yes.
And he wants to set the table.
And he's the boss. So look, this is what I wanted to get to. For 47 and a half hours,
okay,
I've kept you
waiting. This right here?
What I'm about to get to right now.
Okay.
And it comes from an article from Dan Pompey, our friend.
The Hall of Famer.
The Hall of Famer. Where he dug into the early relationship of Jared Goff and Ben Johnson. And he gives us this. One weekend early in the offseason of 2022, Johnson was given the rarest of commodities for an offensive coordinator: freedom. His wife and kids were traveling to North Carolina. He had an invitation from Zach Taylor to accompany him and other friends to Vegas. But then he learned that Jared Goff also had freedom that weekend. Johnson backed out of Vegas and scheduled 3 days with Goff in the offseason, Friday through Sunday. By then, Johnson and Campbell had established an offensive foundation of formations and terminology. The rest of the offense would be Johnson's baby. He handed it to Goff to cradle. In about 24 hours over 3 days, Ben Johnson and Jared Goff sat in a meeting room. surrounded by whiteboards. They watched Rams video golf from 2019 and 20. They talked. They took notes. They ordered Chick-fil-A. On the first day, they focused on golf's favorite concepts. The second day was devoted to Rams plays Johnson didn't completely understand. On the final day, they brainstormed new directions to take the Lions' offense. Johnson texted a picture of Jared Goff with Chick-fil-A to Zach Taylor with the message, "Just Chick-fil-A and a ball in here." Taylor responded with a photo of him with a pile of money he had won in Vegas. So
for Zach Taylor, he's like you.
Yeah, he's like me at Lynx. But point being, they just hung out and had 3 days just chilling out together as buddies, as coach and player with a really good relationship. And it's not the head coach. It's not the bad cop. It's the good cop hanging out, and they're working on stuff together. They're ordering Chick-fil-A, texting pals, and hanging out. Can he have that relationship with Caleb Williams at some point
I think he can
this offseason this year?
I think he can have it right now. I think that that's what he was talking about when he first got hired. We're going to spend a lot of time together. I think that's where this spring, I don't want to say this summer, this spring, I think, is where that can happen.
Is that inherently good cop stuff? It reads to me
yes.
as good cop stuff.
Yes.
And here we are admitting that Ben might be the bad cop. You see the challenge, I think, is ahead of him?
But I think that switch is going to be flipped very easily. And I think that switch is going to be flipped in training camp. That's why I said this spring, not this summer.
That's a good point.
I think that what he's going to do is he's going to load up Caleb on all the – I think that I want to go back to – the description of that. I love that, hey, first day we're going to talk about the concepts that you like. Second day, I watched all the film, and some of this stuff doesn't make sense. Can you walk me through
that's awesome.
All of this stuff?
That's real humility in the relationship. That's good stuff.
And I imagine that there'll be similar stuff with Caleb. And Caleb has to walk in knowing that Ben Johnson has probably looked over every single play that he had last year,
yeah,
5, 7, 10 times.
What are you seeing here, Caleb? Because I don't get what you're seeing.
And maybe what you do is, day one is, let's go through the plays. Man, you were great on this, and this. I love this. We can definitely do some of this and what it is that I want to draw up. And maybe day two of that is, what the were you doing here?
Why did you break contain here when you didn't need to? Why didn't you let this one fly?
Why didn't you see DJ on the crosser here?
Yep.
What was your first read?
Uh-huh.
What were they having you do?
Why is this ball so inaccurate, this deep ball in London to Jacksonville?
And it wasn't the only one.
No, it wasn't the only one. It wasn't the only go route.
It wasn't the only go route. Yeah. That was a problem.
All right, you make a good point in terms of the ability necessary for Ben Johnson to go back and forth between good cop, bad cop, and establish the relationship here in the offseason.
It'd be different if he had an offensive coordinator who had real experience as if he had a Dennis Allen type
for sure
on the offense, then he could kind of be the good cop and let the OC be the bad
cop. What's interesting now, at this moment in Ben's life, as a head coach, not an OC, with more kids than he had then, is he going to have the freedom to have a three-day escapade where he just hangs out with his quarterback like that in the offseason?
Yes, because that's what all the money's for.
Baby, you saw that 14 mil, right?
Yeah.
You saw that two-week deposit that got in there.
You know how we got all this money?
Where would you like to go?
I can hire a nanny for the weekend. I'll see the boys on Sunday night. But I got
to
get this thing corrected.
We got
or
work
else
to do.
The money goes away.
It's time to grind.
So we need to, you know, I got to talk with this young man.
Yeah.
I'll bring him by the house if you need
proof. If you want Chick-fil-A, I will happily order an extra sandwich. You can swing by if you want to dig
we'll take a little bit of a break, but I got work to do. And they paid us a lot of money. And you got to say us. They paid us a lot of money so that we could get this thing corrected here in Chicago.
One more nugget. One more nugget from this great Dan Pompey piece that I found. Zach Taylor responded to the text that Ben Johnson had sent him with a text of a picture from Jared Goff in 2018 in an offensive meeting in L.A. saying cadences. Goff looks in the text as if he doesn't want to be there. And Zach Taylor said, it's Jared's least favorite things to do. Make sure you get Jared in front of the room to deliver the cadences. And Taylor was joking, But Johnson 100% did that. Johnson's thrust was the opposite, to eliminate whatever Goff was uncomfortable with. So Zach Taylor gave him a gift of saying, he doesn't like this. And Ben said, okay, let's make him do that then. So that's when we know Caleb's going to be miserable, well, as Ian Rappaport said.
I guess you did do cadences in college.
Oh, that very same thing might be what he's uncomfortable with.
And now you're going to get up and you're going to do them.
Whatever it is.
And that's where, like, of course you're doing that beforehand, but that's the type of stuff, like, in training camp where the other players will appreciate the fact that you do hold them accountable. And I think that I don't know if we even have to speculate anymore, but it seemed pretty clear that that was one of the concerns that players had last year, mm-hmm. was, is the quarterback being treated,
yes.
the same way that other players at other positions is being treated?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good stuff from Pompey, and it's why I've been dying to share it, to, like, let you know the lengths that you got to go to build that rapport with your quarterback and what Ben is willing to do. And I think you're right. He will find that time this offseason to do that kind of thing.
It'll be interesting. Like, I'm very much looking forward to seeing how many camp practices go. I got to figure out. Maybe I'll take a day off just to go up there uh-huh. when there's some availability, either during training camp or during mini camp, because I just want to see it. I just want to see, like, how he's different, what he's like. You can find out a lot of stuff, like, just kind of on the sidelines when you're watching some of the interactions. Like, for example, when you're watching Hard Knocks last year, and you see that it's not until Nick Saban shows up that Matt Eberflus is like, oh, maybe I should watch the practice from the quarterback's perspective. And he's in his little notebook, and he's writing stuff down.
Ooh, that's a good idea, Nick.
Yeah. Coach.
What else should I do?
Coach. Uh-huh. Not Nick. Coach.
Texters are wondering what 3 days with Eberflus in the offseason would be like.
Nothing but nicknames. Everything's got a nickname.
Dragon Slayer, come on in here. Let's see. Should I call you that? Let me give it another shot.
You know what? Here's the thing.
Bumblebee. Come on in here.
I imagine that 3 days with Matt Eberflus would actually be fun.
I don't agree.
I think it would be fun.
Oh, no.
As long as your expectations are low.
He'd be out of stuff. He'd be out of stuff by early day two. There's nothing left in the hopper at that point. My God. Oh. Look, there's a lot of Bears on today's show. Robert May is coming up a little bit later on. There's other baseball stuff that's percolating, by the way. This John Heyman list that's out there in the public that appears to be the list, a very famous list of 104 players that tested positive for banned substances in 2004 from MLB. There's a few caveats that should be known about that list. If you're one of those people that's out there going a little crazy about this, remember that list, supposedly, if that is the actual list,
yeah,
it was for way more than steroids. It was for a bunch of other banned substances as well.
HGH, like, all sorts of stuff that was going on.
The other stuff that was going on. It's also, if there was a similar list that was found out to be a hoax
at one point.
You remember that at one point along the way? And this one, it has all big names. It's like all big names. It strikes me that there'd be a lot more small names on there, like guys who were trying to do stuff. So that's another thing. And the other thing is that, you know, like, it could very well be a hoax. I don't buy that this is the list necessarily. And so I'm not running with that as some major topic, I must admit.
Well, I'm not as worried about that because we were talking about it a little bit before the show. I don't know what the appetite is for us to relitigate. And I could be wrong. Like, maybe there are tons of people that do want that list out there, and they want to try and understand if their favorite player was on that list or not on that list. Mm. The baseball thing that I'm most concerned about right now, Speaks,
yo,
is Justin Steele. I'm concerned that we haven't heard. We took a look at the MRI, and everything's fine.
Yeah.
He'll be back in 2 weeks. I am very concerned that we have not heard that message from the Cubs.
Well, first of all, you being concerned is both your bit and your default.
It's very much the case.
Yeah, it is both of those things. But I think in this sense, you're right. I told you the buzz around the ballpark the other day was when he was saying, yeah, we hope it's a minimum stay. Nobody was really buying that. A minimum stay on the injured list. Nobody was really buying that around the ballpark. So we will see. Elbow tendonitis for Justin Steele, similar to what he had last September when they shut him down. You're going to L.A., and you're playing the Dodgers, and your starter on game two is Ben Brown, and your starter in game three is either Colin Ray or Jordan Wicks. If the information coming out of Iowa that Jordan Wicks is not listed among the probables is what is to be believed as a clue to this. So
I got seven. I got seven left.
You said throwing is your one athletic gift that remains.
I still have. I still can throw. I got seven in me. And then that'll be the end. Like the end. I won't be able to lift up my arm.
You've got seven major league innings, but you can't give me nine softball games?
Nope. I'm going to need the rest of the body for that.
Oh, yeah,
are you going to let me pitch? No.
No, you play first base, though.
Bob pitches. You can't get rid of Bob.
You know.
So there you go.
You can play second.
No.
He's got to move around still.
We all know what's going to happen. At some point, I'm going to end up in shortstop, and that no one wants a 50-year-old shortstop. No one should have wanted a 48- or 49-year-old shortstop, but damn it, I did it.
Omar Vizquel played for a while.
Yeah, I
really don't want to be compared to him.
That's fair. I felt like Mark Belanger never retired, you know?
Oh, I'm retired.
Yeah, you are.
But if the Cubs were like, hey, do you want to come pitch against the Dodgers? Can you give us seven?
You'd buck it up for
them? Hell yeah.
What kind of stuff you got?
I got nothing, Speaks. I got a fastball that tops out right now. I got a fastball that tops out maybe the low 70s.
Oh, I was going to say 65. Low 70s, that'd be a win.
Low 70s,
man of your age?
And a changeup in the low 60s.
Well, if you change speeds enough, man.
I know.
If you mix it up enough, and you can sneak that 72-mile-an-hour heat by
If
him.
My arm gets tired enough, a curveball that is 12 to 6. Now, look, I won't be able to move that arm for a week, maybe a month.
Hey, man, moving your arms is overrated.
But if they needed it, if Craig was like, hey, we need it.
Lawrence, get out of here.
I'd go out there and wear it for him. I go out there and be like, all right, Shohei Ohtani, let's get it.
Yeah.
He's not ready for this speed. He's never hit anything this slow before.
By the way, the Cubs only play the Dodgers. This is a quirk of the schedule. They are only allowed to play the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Later on in the show, we need to spend some time on that because I don't like that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's fair for us as baseball fans either. All right, we do need to take a break, though. Speaks is wishcasting stuff. Out of Denver.
I really am. I'm hoping that Jokic is on the cusp of being unhappy.
Listen to how you sound.
Yeah, no, I would like him to be unhappy. I do. I would like him to be unhappy and to want out and to come here. That's what I would like. Man, that piece by your guy Tim McMahon, friend of the House of L podcast, Tim McMahon, and Ramona Shelburne on ESPN today about what went so horribly wrong in Denver. Like, the reason they drummed out both coach and GM is that they had a toxic relationship that nobody wanted to be around, that everybody was miserable in there. We got to dig more into that. And I want to find out what was happening with Jokic and if I should be wishcasting or not.
All right. Our buddy Brandon Cristal, who's from the area, he covers the Nuggets. He covers everything Denver. He's going to join us to try to figure out what is fact, what is fiction. Whether or not, by the way, when we were driving up, I think it's the Serbian Brothers like social center. It was here.
You're making my point.
Was like right here as you got off 94.
Jokic could live in Lindenhurst, you know, make his way to the Bulls practice facility. He'd love that drive every day.
I think I'd have him over on the east side, like just keep it a buck. Keep it with all the Serbians that are hanging out on the east side of the city.
Yeah.
That's where Jokic can blend in.
So many Serbian hotbeds for Jokic to choose from.
And that's why he should be on the Bulls.
Damn right.
We'll talk with Brandon Cristal about that next here on The Score.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
It was a shock, obviously. It has happened before, but that team was not any good. It happened to the great Hubie Brown, actually. But that team was not in... The Nuggets are in contention. From what I'm hearing... The owner did not want to pick a side because he said, if I keep Mike, people are going to think I chose him over Kevin, or if I keep Kevin, let him go. From what I heard, he just said, hey, you know what? Let's just get rid of both of them. And it's really unfortunate because Mike Malone is a really good coach. And let's be fair, Kevin had done a hell of a job. I ain't never seen a coach get fired the last week of the season.
When you're heading into the playoffs.
It's really bizarre what's going on in Denver, and it's got Speaks hoping that it can mean for changes here in Chicago. I wanted to reach out to our buddy, Brandon Cristal, who covers the Nuggets for Gorilla Sports out there, Fox Sports Radio. He knows all. He's been there for a long time. So he joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, if you want to go check it out. BK, what's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? I wish I was hanging out with you guys instead of getting ready to go to the Nuggets game. Not that I'm not excited about that, but, you know, Masters Week, it's always fun to be in and around golf settings. But it's been a bit of a strange few days here for the Nuggets because no one is used to seeing a coach or a GM get fired 3 days before the season ends, or three games before the season ends, with the playoffs on the horizon, and a team that could finish as high as third, depending on what happens with the Lakers, and has the best player on the planet on their roster. But, you know, there's a first time for everything, and so it's the first time we've seen it happen. But when you do a little more digging, you realize it's maybe not that surprising.
Interesting. Want to get that context, Brandon, because the NBA is wacky, as you know, covering it. And stars get themselves where they want to be. most often in the NBA, more than just about every other league. So, you know, so I admittedly am dreaming of Nikola Jokic being unhappy and finding a way to come to Chicago to reunite with Arturas Karnišovas and enjoy the Serbian hotbed that is Chicago, a great metropolitan city. Any chance of Jokic being unhappy in terms of the mix? Set the scene for what is going on there and why this happened, and is Jokic unhappy right now?
As best I can tell, Jokic isn't unhappy with the situation. He wasn't banging on Josh Kroenke's door to make this move, and it doesn't sound like Josh and his dad Stan made this move in consultation with Joker along the way, like, hey, we may be thinking about doing this. But I think he understands that not only has the message grown stale, but maybe Michael Malone as the messenger, that grew stale after a decade. And, you know, if you go back to what Al Davis used to say, that no matter what, after 10 years, it was time to move on because the message could go stale. That's why John Madden, even though he said he walked away, may have been forced out, or a Tom Flores after two more Super Bowls. Al Davis moves on there as well. And so after a decade, did that message go stale? Perhaps. And then you start to really hear some stories about Calvin Booth and Michael Malone not getting along, and some detail with those stories and some conversations that they had with people in and around the organization kind of throughout the last year and a half, 2 years. And you understand that it was toxic. The problem is, like Josh Kroenke said when he did the quick interview with their TV partner or the TV company they own, and then on their website, that, you know, that these moves were likely going to happen anyway, and he thought he could get more out of the team. I guess you have to believe him. The timing is odd, though, because of how close we are to the playoffs, but that, you know, doing a little more digging, it could have happened as early as the All-Star break. But as I was alluding to, Josh said, winning can mask a lot of things. That's the currency in the league. They won 8 games going into the All-Star break. And so even though I think only one of them was against a team with a playoff record at the time, it still is hard to fire somebody on an 8-game winning streak going into the break. But I don't think Nikola was unhappy with Michael Malone. They got along really well. He's the only coach he's ever known. But I think Nikola has been unhappy with how his team has performed at times, and he doesn't always agree with everything his coach says. And there's times that Michael Malone will say something in a press conference, and then an hour later, when Joker finally comes and talks to us, because he is notoriously slow getting through his post-game routine, he'll say, oh, I don't agree with that. It was one or two possessions where maybe the defense let up, or maybe something that coach said happened. It wasn't the entire game. So Joker would stand on his own 2 feet, and the understanding I have is that he didn't advocate for this, but he didn't push back either.
What's the Russell Westbrook element of this story, BK?
Well, so Russell Westbrook comes in with $363 million in the bank, and you think, okay, $2 million, that's obviously affordable. Joker, the rumor has it, Joker wanted him as much as anyone, but they wanted him to play 17 minutes a night as the backup point guard, bring energy when he comes in either late in the first quarter to start the second quarter, have that same energy in spurts. But he's had to play almost 30 minutes a game for two reasons. One, just injuries to Jamal Murray, two other guys where they've slid the lineup around and they've had some versatility, Aaron Gordon being the guy who's missed the most time. And so you slide Michael Porter Jr. to the four, essentially, and you could start Russ and Christian Brown at the three with Jamal Murray. But Jamal's missed a lot of basketball. And then the other part of it, too, is that Russ is a vet. And you go back to the Malone Booth thing. Malone wanted to keep the team more intact. He wanted KCP. He wanted Jeff Green back, perhaps. He wanted Bruce Brown. And Calvin Booth was trying to build a team not just for the next year or two, but for the next 5 or 7 years around Nikola Jokic. You can't always rely on those vets. But Russ giveth and taketh away, whether it's getting a steal against the Timberwolves, going in for a layup up one, missing it, then, or grabbing a rebound, throwing up a dumb shot instead of pulling it out and resetting it. You're like, oh, that's a crazy rebound, but why not reset the offense? You get that all year long, and his energy has been good. It doesn't translate, I don't think, as much in the playoffs because everybody plays hard in the playoffs. So Russ was really there for the regular season, it felt like. He and Joker do play well together when they're on the court, but everybody plays well with Joker. At the same time, playing Russ, I think, started to aggravate guys because of some of the critical turnovers he had in winnable games.
Hey, Brandon, last thing, and we appreciate your time. Does Jokic love basketball? Is he going to be playing for a while?
For a while is, I think, relative. He's not going to be playing for a while the way LeBron plays for a while, but he's eligible for another 3-year extension that'll make him essentially the highest-paid player again. And, you know, we know about the horses. We know how much you love Serbia and wanting to get back to Serbia and all of that. But Christian Brown is kind of our only translation, other than the book that Mike Singer wrote that's really good, but to what's going on in Joker's mind, because he'll say, oh, yeah, Nicole will text me because he's like, oh, did you see that play? Because he always watches League Pass, which is something we didn't really know. We just figured he is sitting at home watching some Serbian, you know, Law and Order knockoff or whatever horse races, not, no, or Minions. We know he likes the Minions in Despicable Me. We found that out last year that Gru's his favorite character. But he does love basketball. At the same time, you know, he just had a baby boy early in the season, and his daughter's four. And so I kind of went with that Drew Brees thing, like, oh, is he going to stay and play longer so that his kids can really remember watching him play? And on his 30th birthday, I asked him that as he was kind of getting up from the press availability. And I was like, so do you think you might extend your career because you want your kids to see you play? He said, no, I'm selfish. And so he'll have had enough money. He'll be back in Serbia. But he truly loves basketball. He loves the game. I think he loves the challenge night in, night out. He doesn't spend a lot of time dwelling on things that have happened or the things he accomplishes. He just wants to take the test every game and pass the test or solve the riddle. And so that's what makes him so great. I don't think he's demanding a trade. And as great as the Serbian following is in Chicago with the most, you know, Serbians outside of Serbia, I don't think that's going to, you know, be a magnet to pull him, because he's found enough Serbian friends here in town and he mostly keeps to himself anyway.
BK, man, we love you. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Hey, thanks. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon Cristal, Gorilla Sports in Denver. Good man. The next time he's on, we can talk about him running the streets of Chicago, because he'd be out in them streets.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I can see that. It's a handsome man. Our 5 o'clock hour includes the great Robert Mays on all things Bears and some Cubs stuff we got to get to that is also tangentially about the best offensive player in baseball, the best hitter in baseball. But
why don't we spend some time talking about the White Sox, because the White Sox GM spoke as they are on an 8-game losing streak, as the Red Sox come in ready to take them down because the White Sox are inventing ways to lose. And I hope they win this weekend. They probably won't, but I hope they do. Chris Getch, you'll hear from him next here on The Score.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I definitely listened to 6-7 Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, he'd always have it on.
Afternoons on the Score.
For me, it was not very hard to move on, honestly, especially with you know, going to the Red Sox, such a storied franchise. I was excited, quite frankly, like, and I still am for what this team can accomplish this season.
Garrett Crochet meeting the media, or I guess re-meeting the Chicago media, as the Red Sox and the White Sox get it on the South Side this weekend for three games. These are awful times for the White Sox.
Yeah, they awful. Are. I mean, ideally, if you zoom out and you look at the rotation at Birmingham and look at the pitching infrastructure that Brian Bannister is putting together, you can squint and feel like there's some possibilities. But on the big league roster, it's absolutely brutal. Maybe Chase Mydroth is here now to draw your eye as a new shortstop. But so far, losing eight straight, man, it looks every bit as bad as last year on the big league level.
And having to have a new shortstop because the shortstop that people thought was going to be good is not good and is hurt.
He's hitting under 100.
Yeah, because he's not good
That's
at baseball.
Not good. So it must have been fun times for the boss to talk about then, huh?
Yeah, but I appreciate Chris Getz speaking to people about all of the things that are going on with the White Sox and the return of Garrett Crochet.
Coming back from the road trip here, obviously a tough one from a wins and losses standpoint. You know, the outcome of the games certainly can get to you, can be emotional. You know, beyond the record, you look at, you know, some of the underlying production, things that I've talked about from the beginning in regards to measuring success of this season. Really happy of where our leads are. We're in the top 10 in the league in regards to primary leads. Obviously, over time, that's going to lead to more runs, run production. You know, offensively, our swing decisions have been at the top of the league as well, which is a testament to the process that we've put in place and the execution of these players. Obviously, you know, it hasn't showed up in the win and loss column, but we know over time that we're certainly on the right track. Defensively, you look at where we were last year in terms of saving runs, we've made a remarkable jump to where we are today in regards to our defensive play. So things that we have prioritized going into the season, so far we've accomplished some things, but ultimately the goal is to win more ball games. But we know that it is a long season and we've got our work cut out for us, but if we stay the course, we feel like we'll be rewarded when it comes to wins.
Another prospect, you know, besides Chase is Colson, who obviously draws a lot of attention as your probably number one position player prospect. He's had a very slow start down there. You talk to people down there and they feel like he's getting close. What do you hear? What do you see with Colson right now?
Yeah, you know, I've touched base with Colson, actually, and you know, he, when I'm watching the games, he's still, when you watch him move, you watch his defensive play, his base running, even his at-bats right now, he's still the best player on the field. Now, he has not been productive, and he's going through it right now. He really is. But I know that he's determined. He's not going to give up. That's not in his character. He's making adjustments. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. You know, and that's you know, a challenging part about this game. He's down in AAA. He's working. Personally, I don't care if he strikes out the next 20 at-bats. You know, I know he's going to figure it out. He just has to stay the course and make the right adjustments because it's going to click. I believe in that. He believes in that as well. And it's just a matter of time. So we're supporting him. We still think the world of him. He's part of our plans, you know, moving forward. So, you know, we haven't lost sight of him and we haven't lost faith.
Chris, you mentioned not getting results. Luis Robert has struggled at the plate, but his chase rate's down, his bat speed's up.
How do you feel about how his approach is coming along?
You look at the whole, yeah, his walk rate is up. He's not chasing like he has in the past when he's gone through struggles. So, you know, early on in the season, you know, I know players look up and they look at a batting average and, you know, just their numbers in general. And you've got to be mindful that you got to stick to the plan. And he's been very intentional with how he's approaching his at-bats right now. He hasn't gotten the hit results, you know, early on, especially when the weather's cold. I think it's vital for guys to take their walks. And then, you know, that'll pay off as the season goes on. So we still feel like he's in a very good spot. And beyond Louis, there's others as well. The plate discipline has been very good. There's been some unlucky results offensively. We've hit the ball pretty hard. We just haven't found our holes, you know, but we believe that eventually better results will come.
When Crochet signed his contract, what was your reaction?
It's a lot of money. But, you know, I still go back to, you know, Garrett, and I'm happy for him. I really am. And I'm happy for the White Sox, too. We look at, you know, what he was able to accomplish. That obviously was a team effort last year. We made the hard decision to make a trade, and we brought back some players that we're really excited about, and Chase Mydras, one of them, and joining our Major League club. So I don't necessarily look forward to facing him on Sunday, but I'm happy for Garrett. Very deserving. But I think organizations feel really good about that deal.
That is Chris Getz noticing that it is indeed a lot of money for Garrett Crochet. I had to giggle in the middle when whoever asked said, speaking of not getting results.
That's such a great line.
How's Luis Robert doing?
So that whole Luis Robert thing.
But speaking of not getting results, could have gone to just about anybody on the offensive side.
Pretty
of this
much.
Team right now. And I thought the impassioned support of Colson Montgomery sounded confident and kind.
It sounded delusional.
You think so?
Because there's more than just the struggle that he's in right now.
He has,
as evidence.
Well, he has the look. The offensive production is what you're talking about, right?
Why are you Drew Barrymore today? What is happening?
I enjoy putting my feet on something when I'm sitting in a high top chair with a back like this.
Okay.
Because that's what's
here,
happening.
I can give you.
No,
here,
no, no,
I'll
no,
give
no.
this to you, and I'll stand.
I put my feet on the bottom of your stool, but I admit that it makes me a little uncomfortably close to you, at least for you. I thought we were comfortable.
Not that comfortable.
Speaking of not being comfortable, we have one more Garrett Crochet cut that Bruce sent us in that we have to get in before we break here. So
okay.
Tanny has that.
Okay. Here's Garrett Crochet.
Before, you know, we went out and got Bregman. Rafi's won a World Series. Bueller's won a World Series. It felt like it was the big leagues, you know?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that is.
Oh, my God.
The dagger.
We played some Crochet earlier from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which is sad. This one is just. That is evil.
That is. Twist that knife.
He got to Boston.
Just
yep,
twist it.
It's the big leagues, you know? Oh, my God. That is that insulting and true and awful and hilarious.
It felt like it was the big leagues, you know?
And you know what it says to me? That the podcast that he did, he said what he said.
He said what he said.
Shout out to Garrett Crochet. Wow. All right, Robert Mays is going to talk ball with us. One of the best ball knowers in the game is going to talk. Get away from me, Matt Barrymore. This guy.
I need an extra stool.
Personal
over here.
Space, sir.
I know. My bad.
Matt Lauer was right there for you.
No.
No, no.
No, I'm not
because
offensive.
Of that. Because Drew Barrymore is always up in people's grill when she's interviewing them.
Yeah. That's
I'm not saying, yeah, like this. I'm not saying Speaks is out here doing nefarious stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Have a button on my desk.
Yeah.
That
I'm just saying he's
door.
Too close.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay, I understand.
We're going to talk ball next with Robert Mays on the score.
It felt like it was the big leagues, you know?
Nah, we ain't taking that.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.